We're here with Matt Honey, cyber manager at Cyence. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Don, for having me.
Well, listen, I guess my first question is, do you think cyber insurance is starting to be accepted as a good way to manage cyber risk?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, cyber insurance is it's going to be a huge industry. I think right now we're pulling in, you know, $2 billion plus in premiums this year. And we really even haven't broken the surface on, you know, how many benefits a really robust cyber insurance market could have on the greater economy. You know, one of the things, you know, I'm the cyber manager here at Cyence. One of the things that we do is we're trying to quantify, you know, dollars and probabilities to support the insurance industry. And specifically related to, you know, cyber insurance, we want to bridge that gap between, you know, cyber and economic modeling, similar to how, you know, earthquakes and property, they have models and they've been tested time over time. They know when an earthquake would happen, the probability. Cyence is trying to essentially step in and develop that same model for the cyber insurance industry. So I think, you know, one of the things that a lot of companies have that, you know, they think that they can secure everything. You know, it's a fallacy to think that for security, you can secure everything 100%. Regardless of how many firewalls you install, regardless of how much antivirus or monitoring you have on your network, there's always an element of risk. And one of the things that Cyence understands here is, you know, we need to understand that cyber risk, really at the macro and holistic view, it's a huge new threat that just started in the 21st century. And we need to think about it in terms of people and processes. And so when there's people and processes, there's always this risk that doesn't even rely on technology. You know, I used to work for the government. I used to work in very secure areas. And one of the things is there are always ways to fall back and to mitigate risks in case of an individual or system that fails. And so I think the insurance market for cyber, if there's a way to really mitigate risks that you can't, you know, secure 100%, that's really where companies should come in and step and say, hey, I want to fill this gap. I know that there's a little risk here. I know I can't patch, you know, within 10 minutes of a patch coming out. I'm going to have a little bit of window here, and maybe I can fill that gap with cyber insurance.
Well, how would you describe the cyber insurance market?
Yeah, so the cyber insurance market is it's growing. It's, you know, we really want to develop the cyber insurance market, I think, as a whole, to have a, you know, a robust model in place. You know, when you look at insurance and how it takes place in society now, you know, ultimately people buy insurance to secure their business. No business wants to fail because of a single catastrophic event, I think, by definition. So when you have a robust market, you know, these individuals, should something happen, you know, misfortune, they can at least limit that damage and limit the financial damage and still continue to do business. And ultimately, by doing business, you improve the economy itself. So I think, you know, if you want to have a robust market, you need to not only understand the market itself, so be able to model it, be able to predict it, be able to understand the risks involved. But I think one of the big things is you need to be able to say, when can you deny coverage? Or when can you say that, hey, you know, this you know, building is on a fault line, and, you know, I just don't want to cover this because there's too much exposure here. I think a robust market will be able to answer that, especially in cyber. And I think if you ask insurers right now, you know, what is the common criteria for denying a cyber insurance policy, I don't think anybody will be able to give a real good answer at this point. And, you know, to be fair, it's a hard question. But really, when you have a robust market, people can start answering these questions, you know, collectively and without less deviations. And then also, when you have a robust cyber market, you have this thing called economic efficiency, where by raising the awareness about security, you actually lead to overall improved security. So an example of that would be, for example, if we look at seatbelts, right? So historically, you have seatbelts. There's actually a requirement to wear seatbelts. And so there's less deaths per car accident because people are required to wear seatbelts. So ultimately, more people live and pay into the system. So it's this concept of, you know, economic efficiency, essentially. And we have that. And there's numerous examples, right? So boiler inspections, for example, you have, you know, routine inspections, maintenance done on boilers, and so you have less explosions that cause catastrophic loss and deaths. And then sort of a trivial example of that would be, let's say that you, you know, have, you brush your teeth, right? So you have dental insurance, and they, and insurers could actually, you know, let's say that you do brush your teeth pretty often. Well, from the insurance lens, you have less dental work, less major dental work. So sure, why not? If you brush your teeth, you know, regularly, and that leads to less dental work, why not, you know, cut off money on your premium? So I think, you know, as the world starts to accept these cyber attacks as a real threat that causes damages to businesses, then, you know, there's going to be a need for more data and more reporting and more information just from all sides of the house that are involved in the cyber market.
I've heard many cyber events without major loss often don't even get reported. I guess this would mean the problem could be bigger than we know, maybe. If so, if it is bigger than we know, how can insurers go about addressing this?
Yeah, Don, that's completely right. And coming from a more technical background, you know, I know that events, there's a lot of events that happen related to cyber that are just never reported because either one, if they, you know, it's not a big deal to them, maybe there's no loss, but two, they're not required to. So we have a bunch of issues, right? So for example, ransomware, you see that there were numerous companies coming out publicly saying, hey, I was affected by this global ransomware campaign, it led to losses. But one of the things that's hard to see is how many individuals or how many small companies were affected by this. And, you know, when you look at the regulations, especially in the U.S., there's so many different regulations, 50 different kinds for each state, where you just, it's very hard to understand the impacts of cyber attacks. And I think this is one of the biggest problems we see in this era right now is knowing exactly how many attacks are happening in the world. And so I think insurance could actually come in and really be a huge catalyst for some reporting. So, for example, if an insurer could come in and they have a good relationship with clients, right? And they could somehow demonstrate that or give an incentive saying, oh, well, hey, how many attacks have you actually fended off, you know, recently? Or what have you done proactively to help your security that would fend off attacks? And do you have any records of that? And so if they could show that to the insurer, then the insurer would have incentive to say, hey, yeah, you know, you guys are doing a great job. You're doing really good security. Let me lower your rate here. And then in turn, the insurance company gets the data itself, and they can build much more comprehensive modeling of attacks and surface, you know, how many clients and things like that are in different industries and how many attacks are happening. And then ultimately, you could, that information could go upstream, and you could start looking at country levels or, you know, government levels and really understand the breadth of major cyber attacks. So I think, you know, ultimately, all that to say that, you know, you have, if you have a mature market and there's a standard or some way for reporting not only attacks, but attempted attacks, I think we'll see that insurance can be a really good catalyst for collecting this information. And they're also stronger, I think, in terms of if you look at you know, any other industry, insurance does play a big role in reporting. I think we could relate that back to cyber.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of actually ways to improve reporting from companies and insurers on cyber loss. Could you maybe briefly give us two or maybe three examples?
Yeah, so I think the biggest example here is if there was some requirement in place for companies to report the incident. So for example, let's say the government steps in or a government steps in and says, listen, there's a mandate for reporting. It's a very minimum mandate or, you know, just a basic set that can be applied to all sectors, all industries. And say that, you know, it's similar. I think I draw the comparison to like auto reporting, where, you know, you're not going to capture 100% of every single auto accident, but you've got a lot of data there, and you can actually use even the data if it's not 100% to help improve the overall posture. So I think if the government steps in, I think that's one way. If there's regulations in the industry about having cyber insurance as a mitigating factor, then that would help help the overall industry as well. I think that, like I said before, there's no way to mitigate risk 100%. So if there's a regulation to have even just a baseline policy or even just a very small policy, I think then they'll have much more coverage and they'll be able to see many more attacks from these small businesses, for example. And I don't think that there's, if you look and see who else would be in this realm, I don't think there's any other industry other than insurance. You know, the reporting is very low, as we know now. Companies just don't have the incentives. Insurers have great relationships with their clients, and they also have the incentive, there's a business incentive for clients to show that they're doing a good job. And so I think that that's, you know, a high penetration of insurance will allow an information sharing angle to disseminate all of the threat intelligence that they collect to the broader community. And then really, I think that will overall improve the posture around the world. I think it's something that sort of how I alluded to before, where if you have an economic efficiency impact, where just a small little reporting will really trickle up and cause better economic efficiency.
Well, Matt, this is all very enlightening, and I really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Don.